Now, Linda and Roy and my wife and I are very good friends. But Linda needs to know that I'm on exceedingly good behavior this morning. I just want to point out, in case anything does go wrong, that Wendy explains when they come back from the gym on Wednesday evening, that even the instructor there takes the mick out of Linda. So you can hardly blame me if I do as well. But for the moment, we're going to concentrate on the principles. We're going to, after we've had a coffee, as we come back, we're going to just talk about the process of baptism. We're going to ask Linda one or two questions, and she really doesn't trust me to do that, so Wendy, my wife's going to ask those questions. They've actually gone through them beforehand, but we could change them, couldn't we, as we go along? Yeah. And we're going to pray for Linda. She's going to be baptized, and then while Linda gets changed, we'll sing a couple more songs, and the very last thing we're going to do is to pick up a little bit of liturgy from another church tradition that we have found really valuable along the way. So that's it. Let's go. Let's pray before we do. Father, I pray that for the people who have previously been baptized, these next few minutes will be a reminder of what you have done and are doing in their lives. Father, for those who are following Jesus and have not yet decided that they want to go all out, that they will be stirred about baptism as well and find themselves changing position. And for those who would really like to get to know you but haven't managed to yet, I pray that your Spirit will come very, very close to everybody here, and that they might know you better than they have before. Amen. So today is the day when we celebrate Pentecost all over the world. People are thinking about the birthday of the church. This was the day, all those thousands of years ago, when the church started, and it started in a pretty dramatic way. Jesus had gone back to heaven. In fact, the reason he'd gone back to heaven, specifically he said, was because he could only be in one place at a time when he was on earth. He went back to heaven so that God could be everywhere, so that the Spirit of God could come down in his place and change the world for all of us. And it started in a place where people responded to the preaching, and as they responded to the preaching, they got baptized. 3,000 of them on that day. I can remember my nan and granddad telling me about some services when they first became Christians, which were held in the Royal Albert Hall for baptisms. And there, they baptized thousands of people. They were coming up one side into the water, out of the other side, because of the way in which a new way of understanding Jesus, a new way of understanding the Spirit was happening. That was back in the 1920s. And in places, it does happen again. But the Jews, you know, were familiar with this business of being immersed. It was part of their tradition at the time. They didn't call, well, they used to call it baptism, I think, around them. They've stopped calling it baptism now. But it was for purity. And there is so much in the Bible about baptism that it's very easy to do what we do, particularly Protestants. You know, we're called Protestants because we like protesting, okay? And somebody will tell us something in the Bible and we'll say, yes, but it's a good idea with baptism to say yes and, because there's so much more about it. Do you know, there's more about communion, more about baptism in the Bible than there is about communion. And there's tons more about baptism in the Bible than there is about weddings. In fact, there's hardly anything about weddings in the Bible. So why is it so important? I tell you how important it is to people. I always tell this story, but it was one of those life-changing events for me. Long, long time ago, I flew from a place called Theka, a farm, Theka, in a six-seater plane up to the Turkana Desert at the north of Kenya, which is a real sand desert. I was there to see a project that we'd been involved in, which involved running a pipe down underground to get water in an area where, I tell you, the guys there lived in basket weave huts, and their main cash farming thing was to have camels. It was hot. And 3 days before we got there, the water had come online from the pump. And you know, the first thing they did was not to have lots of showers. The first thing they did was not to have a party with lots of water to drink. The first thing they did was to dig a person-shaped hole in the ground, which must have been all of 18 inches deep, and line it with polythene. And then they put some water in there, and they baptized 73 people. That's how important it was. When the water came online, the big way they celebrated was by baptizing. And of course, in lots of places in the world still, it was this way at the beginning of Christianity, but still, you know, when you get baptized, you actually lose your family. You can get killed. You certainly will get persecuted, because being baptized is really important. And it's really important for us because our leader, Jesus, was baptized. Now, you saw the video just now, and the script is from the Bible. And I know that you get some people like the film version, and some people always prefer the book version. But here's my question for you. Just have a word with the person next to you. Watching that video, what was there that made you nod your head and say, yeah, I think it happened like that? And what is there in it that made you shake your head and think, oh, I'm not so sure about that. I don't think it really was like that. Just quickly, about half a minute, and we're back on track. Thanks. Okay, we haven't got time to get some feedback, but you'll have all sorts of different views on it. My feeling is that that video is pretty much as good as you're going to get. I used to be involved in developing things like that, and you would not believe the hundreds of hours of discussion that goes into every paragraph, because everybody who works on it has got skin in the game somewhere. I suppose the bit I'm most interested in is it true to the text? This is from the New International Version, latest version of that. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him. Other translations say prevent him, make him change his mind, talk him out of it, saying, I need to be baptized by you and you come to me. John was Jesus' cousin, 6 months older, so he was the older one. It's not surprising he tried to boss Jesus around then, you know, made his point. Actually, he'd made a good preacher at a royal wedding, wouldn't he, John? That would have been a bit controversial, yeah? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper. It's the right thing. It's what God wants for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. So Jesus was baptized. As soon as he was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. Thank you. Okay, so a few things about baptism. Baptism is about following Jesus. Okay, that's the big reason. Baptism was important to Jesus, and it's important to us. Jesus gathered followers. And those of you who are here regularly on Sundays know that Sundays is all about people who want to follow Jesus more closely in more areas of their lives. And in a very real sense, even if it happens some way into the journey, being baptized is about kicking off that journey. I can remember just a couple more stories. When you get to my age, you've got to remember, by the way, that I know I look wonderfully young, but Sarah, I was just thinking this morning, is a bare 6 years older than my oldest granddaughter. So it's not a wonder. Sometimes I get the two of them mixed up. At least I don't forget her name. I may forget who she is, but I don't forget her name. A long, long time ago, Wendy and I were involved in leading something called the Chelsfield Pentecostal Youth Camp. In fact, that particular year was instrumental in starting our lifetime mission in building church. But during that week, there were loads of kids there. It was during the skinhead times. And there was one lad there who had 24-hole boots, you know, brown DMs with the red laces that went with them, the skinhead. And he decided that he wanted to follow Jesus and was going to be baptized. These boots cost a ton of money. They really did. But you know, he said, I really want to go down into the water wearing my boots, and I'm going to leave them down there because from here, my life is changing. Baptism was about following Jesus for that guy. I can remember as well, when I was a kid, there were still a lot of people who had been really damaged by polio. And I can remember on one occasion where a guy who I'd only ever seen in a wheelchair was lifted from his wheelchair into the baptismal pool in the Pentecostal church. And although he couldn't move, with a whacking great smile on his face, he was baptized. Why? The skinhead wanted to follow Jesus. The polio victim wanted to follow Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. And today we're here because Linda wants to follow Jesus as well. Not only is that true, but baptism is about being the best version of you. For Jesus, this was a real change. We don't know what he did very much before. We don't know whether, as some people think, that he made little clay birds and blew on them and got them to fly. We do know that he worked on a building site. And we're pretty certain that we know the building site he worked on as well, a place called Sepphoris that was quite near, where most of the carpenters actually around there worked. The odds were that he would have been a joiner in that environment because he stayed with his family business. But that was the day that things changed, because 40 days after that, he took a 40-day break and then came back in the power of the Spirit to have the three most amazing years of, and this sounds weird to say this about the Son of God, but achieving his potential. I've been doing a lot of thinking about baptism this week, and it took me back to an interview that I did about a year, well, a bit more than a year ago, up in the Midlands. And I'd never met this guy before, and I talked to his wife, and I talked to him, and they each talked to me for about an hour and a half and recorded it, and this is part of the transcript. And this guy, who I call Michael, that wasn't his name, says, the next thing we know, we've both decided. We want to get baptized. We wanted to say this is for us. We have found where we belong. We believe what we've been taught, and this is the life we want to follow. And for me, part of that was because I believed, and I'd always had the belief. It had just come back to me so much stronger. And this was a chance for me to start doing the right thing, what I was designed for. This, in a way, to me, is where I belong. And my parents weren't too chuffed at first when I told them I was going to get baptized, because they thought, at 35 years of age, what do you mean get baptized? You've already been christened. You can't get baptized. And I'm like, yes, But this is exactly what's wrong with the way faith was taught to me growing up. I said, no, I was christened, but that was against my will. I'd got no concept of what was happening. I was a baby. This is as an adult. This is a choice I've made. I want to become born again. I want to be a Christian. And my mum's like, well, you've always been a Christian. And I'm like, no, I haven't. Look at the things I've done. Look at the places I've been to. That's not the way Jesus lived his life. So that's right. You want to become one of those happy, clappy God botherers then. And I'm, no, not really. I just want to be a better version of me. That's already had an impact in Dayspring because we thought it was a brilliant title for a course that we run that's all about how we shift some of the bad stuff that we've been carrying, and it helps us. Being the better version. Don't think we'll ever become the best version. That's kept for another day later on that we get to. But we certainly can be a better version. Baptism's about life with the Spirit. Jesus went down and he came up. Interestingly, doesn't tell us in the text about the amount of water. I'm sure it varied. That's not the critical thing. It's what's going on in your heart when you get in the water. I think my view would be that to flow with the text, the best idea is to use as much water as is available. Okay? If you can use the sea, if you can use a running river, that's great. If you catch Viles' disease, that's probably not so good. But it doesn't really matter. Now, here's the thing, and this is sometimes a bit controversial, and it was even controversial in the early days of the church. People used to argue about this for all sorts of reasons. But Jesus had an encounter with the Holy Spirit when he came up. There was a voice. And interestingly, on this occasion, we don't know that everybody heard the voice, but we do know that some people did. Because later on, John talks about hearing the voice. And after the Bible was finished, after the text was finished, after the last books were written, there were some other letters, testimonies that were going around. And some people who were there on the day actually said that they heard the voice, whether they saw the dove, because it only says it was like a dove. Holy Spirit comes in all sorts of ways, like a dove on Jesus, like fire. Who knows how he's going to come on Linda today, but we're going to pray that Holy Spirit will come. And if she doesn't feel anything at the time, that's okay. When I was baptized, I was only 11, but I knew what I was doing. Didn't feel very much. I'd had a great experience a few months before that had really affected me and still continues to affect me all these days on. That was called, in those days, although we probably wouldn't use that phrase now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I knew that had happened to me, and I've never, ever, ever doubted that since. But Michael and his wife, Michelle, both said how that was the first time they had ever been aware of God. When they went down in the water, they came up. And Michael said on the way to get changed, he burst into tears because his marriage had broken up. He and Michelle had got together. They'd found themselves in very difficult situations. He'd been heavily on the drink. Both of them had. It was sort of, they were bottle of vodka a day types. And everything had changed. It was completely new. And it was a totally new life. So we know that being baptized is about the good and the bad as well. You know, yesterday I heard that the Dayspring teens actually changed their breakfast from being at the salubrious Wetherspoons to getting their breakfast from Greg's. And wonderfully, they took the money that they were offered and came back with half of it. You know, you guys don't know you're living. If you're given 30 quid to spend on breakfast, you spend the lot. Who knows where your next meal's coming from? But here's the thing, when they got back, they spent some time in our prayer room and they prayed. And among the things they prayed for, people they prayed for, was Luke. And every single one of them prayed for Luke, who's going on a trip with Latin Links to South America, a missionary trip. You know, he's been thinking about doing that for years, actually. Some of us can remember when he came back. And it was evident that God had spoken to him while he was at Soul Survivor. And I can remember thinking at the time, you're in trouble now. And I wasn't thinking about him, I was thinking about his parents. Yeah? And you know, colleagues in the teens, every single one of them prayed. And they didn't pray so much for an anointing that he'd see great things, go great places. They prayed he would be safe and that nothing would go wrong. And I should imagine they were thinking of the possibility he might get eaten by something. But you know, one of the things that you can be sure of, Luke, as you go this summer, you know, God is going with you. And you go in the power of the Spirit. And we will not only be praying for you before you go, that you'll go with an anointing that's going to blast you into another dimension. But while you're away, we'll be praying that as well. Because we have got an investment in seeing Wiltshire and beyond, including bits of South America, which I still can't remember. Which is it? Bolivia? Ecuador? No. Every time I come up with it, I'll be down to Chile soon, Tierra del Fuego. But yeah, you see, the point is this, that Jesus went into the wilderness. First four letters, W-I-L-D, where it's wild. And Linda has spent her lifetime where it's wild, at least first part of her life, until she got involved with Roy, and then I don't know how I would describe it, but it was different. Might not have been wild. Okay, I would, all right, I will control myself. And then, do you know, sort of with Roy and with Carl and with all sorts of other stuff, you know, I was saying to Wayne this morning, I said, if I was in his family, I'd walk around with a tin helmet on. Rough stuff happens. But rough stuff happens, and still this lady has come through that and not done what so many people would do, saying, how can there be a God who loves us if bad things happen? Which is a stupid thing to say. Yeah? She said, I want to get baptized. I want to go all the way. And Linda, we're with you. Wilderness, all good things, in the desert place, or the other bit. You've still got the 10,000 reasons, said he, threading all the songs together. I'm not even sure I am over my time, but I will be when I've told you this. And don't want to break a habit of a lifetime. You know, they were doing some research in South America. I don't know which country, it was in South America. There, they were in a position where when people were baptized, it was really important that they didn't use the word baptism, and they didn't use, because it would have just caused major, major rows between the denominations. And so they were trying to come up with a really good formula as an alternative to baptism. And the proposal at this was theological training by extension, which you probably came across at some stage in the past, they came up with this formula for replacing baptism. And what they thought they would do is they would get a coffin, and they would get a lid, and they would get a mallet. And what would happen, the candidate who wanted to follow Jesus would celebrate their baptism in this way. They would come and they would get into the coffin, they would lay down. They would put the lid on the top of it. They would tap on it three times in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And the person would come out the other side with no hair, shake it. And I don't think they ever put it into practice, but it does make a point, doesn't it? That baptism is about new life. It's about taking some old stuff, getting rid of it, coming up, and committing to be a better version of me. Okay?